Coming up on today's podcast, Warrington are back and get back to winning ways, which puts a smile on Coach Price's face as Steve also invents a new word. Sam's statistics return, or has Sam just printed off his stats from the internet? Daniel rules over the rule changes. Tony Smith drops into Rimmer's lot to pick up an order. Both our halfbacks make the headlines, sadly for the wrong reasons. And will it be a wicked win for the Wire at the Totally Wicked Stadium? This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, I'm Rob Londoner with Victorious Wire returning to the field. We're back here in the top paddock with a full crop of rugby league entertainment. So talking of crops, where are my two podcasting seedlings? First up, he sows the facts, nature grows the facts, and then we eat the facts. Yes, back with his crop rotation of statistical permutations, it's Sam Percy Thrower Sankey.
Good morning. You are scratching the barrel now at these introductions, aren't you? Very tenuous. But Percy Thrower, I wonder how many people remember him.
Blue Peter Garden, mate. Blue Peter Garden.
I know, I remember him. I'm old enough.
It got vandalised, didn't it? Do you remember that, when it got vandalised? And
That was Sophie Ellis Bexter when Janet Ellis took her to babysit. I'm sure she just went out and vandalised
a
whole lot.
Well, there's a rumour that Les Ferdinand did it.
Really?
But it is a bit of an Area 51. Yeah, he did say in an interview once that he helped someone over the wall, but he's since denied it. But someone did do a shit in the goldfish pond.
You always have to take it there, don't you? Move on.
And also, it's almost impossible to grow anything in his dark satanic allotment, with his soil indicating a pH reading that will only become fertile if he covers it in his very own tackle bag's verbal bullshit. It's Dennis Old MacDonald Waywell.
Well, you say Old MacDonald. I'm actually stopping at a farmhouse in Devon today. And so I must be very careful of my P's and Q's. I'm sat in the farmhouse living room. It's a public area, so I could get disturbed at any time. But yeah, I will be avoiding swearing today.
So you're on holiday, Dennis. You're taking a little mini break.
Yes, a mini break. Middle of nowhere. Social distance from about 3 or 4 miles from any nearest building or people. So
very nice.
Keeping it real.
Right. Well, let's crack on then. Let's get into this. We'll start with the team. Warrington versus Hull KR. We're recording this. It's now, what is it? It's Sunday night here in Sydney, Sunday morning over there in the UK. The Wire team was Ratchford, Charnley, Gelling, King, Lynham, Austin Widdop. In the forward pack, we had Hill, Darrell Clark, Cooper, Curry Hughes and Jason Clark. Interchange bench was Philbin, Akawala, Walker and Matty Ashton. Final score was Wire 40, Hull KR 10. Attendance was zero. Let's have a listen to the highlights and then we'll review.
Try of the game in the first few minutes. It's Ben Crook, Super League's top try scorer, who gets the try, and that's the reward for their audacious start to the game.
My life right now.
The break by Ben Curry. Curry gets the pass. This one sticks. Lynham scores. Eventually, Warrington flick, and Tom Lynham with the try. Kingston Rovers playing at that ball, says referee James Child. They won't need six, they're in. Akawala gets the try.
Come down, I'm on life right now.
Here is Austin. Austin's pass stretching is Gelling, and Gelling dots the ball down. Darrell Clark, Austin. They go across the field to Gelling again. Gelling over the top. Charnley dots this one down.
Self-esteem, smoking dopamine, no, don't wake me, I'm shooting up a dream.
Ratchford bursting through the middle, he has got Widdop in support. Widdop will finish off, and Warrington cutting loose there.
Pop reality, sip humanity.
Winland's lost the ball, Ratchford's picked it up, and Ratchford will go in under the sticks. Pass away, and Quinlan will go in. Quinlan gets a well-deserved try.
Right now, I'm on life right now.
I now, think it's in the clear. Great work.
Toby King has got them lined up in support. And Tom Lynham is going to get his second of the game and finish this off for Warrington. That's a great counter from Steve Price's men. A glimmer of a smile on the face of the Warrington coach.
Well, a little bit of upbeat music there I've mixed with that one, Dennis. Do you, could you imagine Bill Arthur hanging out with Edris Elba?
Where would this be? I mean, that's a bit of a clash of the Titans of boring, isn't it? That is. I mean, God almighty. Aww. I don't know where they'd be clubbing together. I can't even think of a club, actually. What was the one in Wakefield called? Maybe that was probably the
best yes,
one.
Can't remember what that one was called. But yeah, could be there. So you're not thinking the World, possibly, Mr. Smith? Can't really see
Edris
Elba. They've
at least got a bit of hipster about them, whereas those two probably haven't. So I'll look into it.
Hacienda? Hacienda?
No.
I went to the Hacienda once. I remember met these birds outside. And I thought we were in. We really did think we were in. So we paid about 30 quid to go into the Hacienda. And the minute we got in there, they dropped about 4 pills each and they're off the tits and have nothing to do with us. And we went to the bar and ordered a pint of mild each. And the girl behind the bar just loved saying,
oh dear.
Happy days. What did we think of the Sky coverage before we sort of kick on and look at what happened during the game? I did notice Phil Clark came out with a couple of classics. Tony King is NRL standard, Sam.
Toby King.
Calling him Tony now.
Yeah, Tony. And right at the end of the game, he did something to for Phil to get his teeth into. Mm. They all rate him though, don't they? And I think it's only fair to say we rate him. We just don't rate him that highly.
Well, the phone must be ringing hot now after yesterday. I would think. I think all the NRL agents will be on after Phil Clark has said it. He also said Hull KR are the most entertaining club to watch in Super League. Do we think there's a bit of a theme growing here now for the rest of the season? Every time Hull KR are on TV, they're going to run with this. Or they're the most entertaining team.
I think he just makes it up as he goes along, doesn't he? I mean, that's just absolute nonsense. Yes, they had 1 minute of, like, you know, dramatic, different rugby league, and now all of a sudden they've been labelled this.
Harlem Globetrotters, but really, they're pretty shit. About one in five passes actually catches, doesn't it? And John Wilkins come up with a new player, did you notice? Rather than Sitalikiakawala, he's come out with Sitiakala, he was calling him when he scored the try, so...
Maybe that's why we won. We had an extra player on the pitch.
Well, it didn't start well, Sam. Right from the kickoff, Gelling caught asleep, not even watching.
Yes, and I think maybe we'll come on to his overall performance a bit later. But yeah, when it showed the replay, he was already running back towards his posts as the kicker was running up to take it. And it was only as he glanced over his shoulder he realised it had gone short. Mm. If he'd been watching all the way, it had gone straight to his hands, wouldn't it?
Are you a fan, Dennis, of this short kickoff? I mean, Union have been doing it for, you know, 50 years. Would you go short?
No, I'd mix it up a bit. I think there's, you know, exactly, it worked, didn't it, yesterday? It just shows you that, you know, you pick your time right, you can really catch everybody
once.
On the pot. No, it's worked
it well, once.
Times.
He tried it about five times.
Yeah, but that's the trouble, isn't it? That's where it gets a bit stupid. I mean, Tony Smith going, well, let's just try it again, boys. And it just
Dennis,
work.
Dennis, can I just remind you are in a public area there?
I've not swore. But the thing is that with anything like that, it has its place, but you obviously don't do it every time, which is what they employed after it. And by the time they'd finished the fourth, fifth one, I think it was just going straight into the hands of the wide player. So... yeah, I like it. Mix it up a bit.
Good. Repetition's not what you want, but you don't want to be doing, you know, you want to sort of vary up a bit, don't you?
Yeah, five drives and a kick to Toby King sort of thing. It's not really what we're after, is it?
Well, from that, in the second minute, Wire go down, they're 4-0 down because Ben Crook strolls over in the corner. Again, Sam, Gelling shoots out of the line.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good first 10 minutes. He wasn't looking. Then he shoots out of the line. Then he throws the ball into touch. And then he... gets himself sin-binned. It encapsulated what we worry about when we talk about through his whole career, has he been actually quite good enough? It's not that he can't do good things. He has shit moments like that regularly, doesn't he?
23rd minute, Curry shoots through a gap. He has the composure to slow it down and then shoots a beautiful pass out to Tom Lynham. Rashford adds the extras from the touchline and it's 6-4 to Wyatt. Were we worried up until that point when we sort of went over in the 23rd minute?
I was never worried. I have to say, I looked at the team sheets and thought, come on, this is ridiculous. It's a bit of men versus boys. We've got such a big roster now with all them players, you know, reaching a high level. And you look at like the whole KR team, very much a mismatch, I would say. I don't think it was anything to worry about.
Well, no, but up until then, it was very frenetic, wasn't it? It was a real frenetic start to the game. Fast-paced, some good play, but ever strewn. We did look fit. We did look physically fit and quite quick. There was no one appeared to be carrying excess weight, did they?
No, I thought they all looked very good. I thought who impressed me in the first 30 minutes was Jason Clarke. I thought he worked tirelessly. He's not big enough to take the ball forward. He doesn't make any ground going forward, but I did think he was snapping at their ankles a lot. On one occasion when they got away, I think it was Brierley, he just managed to get his ankles. I think Brierley had kind of passed the ball as he caught him anyway, but he was there and thereabouts, but they all were pretty good. Austin just didn't work for him yesterday, did it? Just something wasn't quite right.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Austin, he came with that star quality. He obviously had a great beginning where he was like, you know, doing the step and getting a couple of tries and things. I think it's just going to take a bit more time to sort of find his feet with a combination with Widdop, and then we can start seeing some of his good sort of side in terms of creativity and so on.
What did you make of him, Sam, Austin, yesterday?
I think you summed it up there. There was a couple of times where he took a ball or an offload and he went through. In fact, he even tripped the commentator up at one point because the commentator said, here comes Austin, he's going to score. And he just got caught, didn't he? He just didn't quite get away. But what I did notice, particularly as we went into the second half, the ball seemed to be split very evenly between going to Austin and going to Widdop and going to Rashford. So I think in the long run, that should help Austin, because last year, everything went to him. Right. And it was like he was trying to force a play every time it went to him.
Okay. Well, on the 35th minute, after more wide pressure, Koala takes the ball close to the line, runs straight through a gap, and he's over. Rashford can't miss, and it's 12-4 to Wire at half-time. You sent a text, Sam, about this sort of nine-a-side footy. What was making it so quick, do you think?
It was the fact it was first game back. In part, it was the way Hull KR approached the game in that first 5 or 10 minutes. And also, there was a lot of dropped ball, wasn't there? There were a lot of errors, dropped ball, and the dropped ball was then going to the opposition, almost like that old free play where they were then counter-attacking. So it had a very frenetic energy to it. I noticed at half-time, the completion rates were abysmal, weren't they? 55% Warrington, 47% Hull.
Yeah, we got to play the best team yesterday, didn't we? Coming back into it, really. That was a lot of other teams would have capitalised on that, but with it being Hull KR, it just didn't work. I did think it was a bit bizarre that Tony Smith is, you know, he's nodding his head. He's, you know, he wants them to throw this ball around, etc. But kind of defeats the purpose if only one out of five passes is kind of sticking when you're trying to attack. You've got to have some kind of structure.
The fact that there is no relegation is now giving the freedom and the safety to try and get Hull promoting the ball in the same way as he did when he first came to Warrington. Because when he came to us, he had that half season or so. But then when we came back after the break, we were playing a completely different brand of rugby, weren't we, where we were promoting the ball on a regular basis. Paul Wood offloading for fun when I'd never seen him offload before in his life. So whether he's trying to encourage that at Hull KR, I don't know.
But if it's not winning your footy games, it's a bit silly, isn't it? I mean, no, it's entertaining
it's
to
game.
Watch.
It's only one game, isn't it? And the thing is, as we've...
Hang on, we've got a dog barking.
Stepmom's just arrived. He'll be shut up in about 10 seconds.
Well, sorry, he's barked all over your shitty point anyway, so...
Well, I'll just do that again.
Oh dear, look, don't start it again now.
We've come out of lockdown and it's chaos, isn't it? I'm saying Gelling scoring in the first half. Dennis is sitting down there in an inch of piss in his some kind of retirement home, and you've got a dog barking, Sam. So nothing's really changed. At 45th minute, Gelling touches down with his fingertips. Ratchford misses his only conversion of the afternoon, and it's Wire 16, Hull KR4. Dennis, you were sending very positive messages about Gelling.
Yeah. I'll tell you the reason why. The thing is that I agree. Sam made the point. He is very hit and miss when it comes to some of the stuff he does. But certainly when you look at him and the size of him in the centres, and, we've always sort of had this issue, I think, in the centres, is that we've got somebody there now who's actually, has the stature of a real good sort of centre. He's got the skills. His arms are always flailing around everywhere so he can get the ball out. He's got a bit of speed about him and he's big tackle. I think he's actually a very good option for us. And I think, like I say, he can tidy up those bits of his game where he always makes up a mistake.
But it's not in his character, is it? That characteristic that comes out in Gelling is he's cheeky. So he does go for the intercept and it doesn't pay off. And he does go for the silly pass. That you're never going to take that away from him.
Yeah, he's got a problem. Yeah. He's got that sort of, he's more conscious about what the perception of how people look at him. And that clouds his judgment in certain times.
Bit of psychology. I like it, Dennis.
You've thrown me now. But
Some people would say you're away on holiday, Dennis, but you're absolutely just as sharp as a brick, aren't you, this morning?
Really? That's right. I've had fried bread with my breakfast this morning.
Nice. Well. What else was on the breakfast? What else did you get?
Oh, it was a lovely breakfast.
Go on, sausage, tell me what you had. Bacon. Oh, lovely. Sausage, what kind of sausage? What kind of sausage was it?
It's a Southern local sausage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Sam, 53rd minute, a flowing move from left to right, and Charlie's in the corner. Ratchford slots over his second from the touchline, and it's Wire 22. Hull KR4. I know we got this from left to right and Charlie gets in that corner. I just spoke to my dad a little bit earlier and he pointed out he doesn't think that we've got many options. When we go left or right, we don't create much of an overlap. We do look a bit flat. Hull KR created an overlap on quite a few occasions, but they ran dagger down pretty quickly. Do you think we are a bit flat? Doesn't seem to be a runner coming back on the inside when Ben Murdoch-Masilla's not out there.
Gelling's strength is his strength, and then to have Murdoch-Masilla there
Dennis,
as well.
Dennis, write that it's down. Almost like Gelling's strength is his strength.
But it's almost like we're looking for crash balls. We've not got the
flat balls.
The subtlety.
Yeah,
we've not got the subtlety to draw the men and create the overlap. We're more looking for the smash through and the power going through.
I think though that. In the past, we've probably wanted to sort of create the overlap and get round because you've got such tight and scrum defences. But I think now, in this modern game, it's going to be about tiring out the defence and coming back on the inside a lot, where you're catching people off a bit flat-footed and a bit tired sort of thing. So I think the tactics are going to change. I don't think it's going to be that important to create overlaps.
John Wilkin did mention it, didn't he, during commentary?
I take all that back.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I think he was right. We're a conservative team attacking, aren't we? And I think this is possibly image of Steve Price compared to the image of Tony Smith, who seems to be completely the opposite direction.
I think at times we don't have a few people in that back line that know how to draw a man and pass a ball. I think they're just coached to put it through the hands. I'm not sure they've quite got the subtleties of being able to time a pass. Anyway, but then the best move of the game, I'm calling it a tappy-tappy passing move through the middle. Beautiful ball from Mike Cooper. I think he feeds through to Ratchford, and then Ratchford passes it to Widdop, and Widdop's in. And we get the extras because it's in front of the sticks, and it's 28-4. Best move of the game, Dennis, I think. Beautiful move. You've been going on about going down the middle. He's got this vague expression on his face. He doesn't know where he is. It's Sunday, Dennis. Sunday morning. You're in Devon.
Yes, I know. No, I do remember that one. And it's exactly the point I was just making, is the fact that, you've got players now who can back up. And I think you mentioned it when we first signed with it, that, pretty much as soon as we've got somebody making a breakthrough or a clean break or whatever on the shoulder, it's bound to be Gareth Widdop. And I think it was proven there, wasn't it?
Are you scoring a few tries with up now, Sam? Like, it seems every game he's managed to get sneak over the line.
Dennis just said he's always there, isn't he? He's looking for it, sniffing it out. I just want to highlight Cooper though. It looks like the Super League website has Saturday evening off because they've not uploaded the stats.
You've had 20 weeks off on furlough, Sankey, and you've got nothing for
us. Is this a caveat?
Oh, it is.
No, I got up nice and early this morning and replayed the match on
good on you, Sam.
A slight fast forward. I felt watching the game yesterday, Cooper was excellent. 64 minutes on the pitch, which in that heat and coming back not match fit, I thought was outstanding. He carried the ball more than 20 times, 4 offloads, and more importantly, 4 passes before the line, which is exactly what you're talking about here, Rob, where he takes the ball, you would expect him as a forward to drive it in, but he's given a short pass or in a couple of cases a long pass out to one of the backs, and in this case, he turned it back inside to Ratchford. Hmm. Ratchford goes clear, and I thought it summed up Cooper's effort last night. The last 5 minutes, he gave 2 penalties away when trying to be a bit fancy.
Yeah,
but that shouldn't take away from what really was an outstanding effort. I felt.
I'd just like to say though, I think the other thing is that we haven't mentioned Hill either. I think Hill and Cooper yesterday. I don't know if you're going to mention it in the penalty, Sam, but I didn't see that they were causing too much of a disruption to ourselves in terms of giving penalties away. I thought they both had a really good game.
Hill didn't give a single penalty away. He didn't do as long a stint as Cooper, but once again, his tackles were 20 tackles, 22 hit-ups and an offload from Chris Hill.
Gee.
There you go.
Okay, we'll start summarising at the end. I'll just run through the last 2 tries, guys, and then we'll sort of look through the team and see who played well and who didn't. At 75th minute, Hull KR, they get the consolation try in the way of Adam Quinlan with a Ryan Briley converting to make it Wire 34, Hull KR 10. And then in the final minute, Toby King gallops through a tired Rovers defence, finds Lynham in support, and it's a length of the field try. Ratchford tags it over. His 6th goal of the afternoon. And the final score is Warrington 40, Hull Kingston Rovers 10. Lynham had a fair bit of pace when King went through that gap. I mean, Gelling was there. Ashton was there. But Lynham got himself in a belting position. I didn't think he showed a good turn of foot in comparison to Ashton and Gelling. He was fast.
I'm not sure whether it's him or Ashton who is the quickest at the club. But once he gets going, he does fly, doesn't he? I mean, in the cup semi-final, when he broke free from Leeds in his own half and he went flying away, and then he did similar at Hull, didn't he, when he intercepted on his own line.
He needs
space to get into, but as soon as he gets that space, there's not many people catching him.
Toby King doing then when he set off on his run, was he
galloping? The right word.
NRL centre galloping.
He wasn't very fast, was it?
No, he got through a gap. He's got a gap in front of him, and I thought, well, he's not going to go far, is he? And everybody else thought the same thing because about 4 players around him, he had his pick to juice from. Throw it to him.
What I did think was funny in the first half, he intercepted a ball very close to our line.
Mm.
And rather than putting his head down and trying to make 30 metres before he was run down, he threw it back 5 metres to Gareth. Gareth Woodup was like, what are you doing? Put your head down. He wasn't going to back himself there, was he? Okay, well, Sky came out with the man of the match as Stephen Ratchford. We put a Twitter vote out as well, and there was a clear winner. It was Stephen Ratchford. What are we all going for? Start with you, Dennis. Who's your man of the match?
I've not really put any thought into this.
No.
Full
of fried bread, aren't you?
But you know what? I think the thing is that I was thinking about it in terms of collectively, I wouldn't really want to pull any of them out as man of the match. I think I would agree with Sam what you were saying earlier with the forwards. I thought, you know, as a solid forward pack, they were making meters, they weren't giving penalties away. And I think as we'll get on to discuss it, this new format is all about how many penalties you give away. I think we've seen in the other rugby league games that it's just a killer in this new format if you're giving penalties away. And I think if your forwards are getting, you know, tackling, getting.
Who's your man of the match, Dennis?
Oh, I'll go Cooper.
Cooper. Do you know what, mate? I'm going to agree with you. I know that Ratcher did a lot yesterday, but I did think, as Sam pointed out before, I thought Cooper was outstanding yesterday. And he went back to getting that ball away and having successful passes as well. So, Sam, you going for Ratchford still? You've got the poster on the wall behind you there.
As much as I rated Cooper's performance, you can't not go for Ratchford. Kicking from the touchline, setting up tries, scoring tries. Eye-catching display.
Yeah, yeah. Good performance all round. One thing I thought was a little bit, I don't know how to put Ashton. Did Ashton go at fullback because Ratchford was injured, or was it just a case that they just swapped them round? Because I would have thought that was your opportunity, because Gelling, you know, might not be around in a few weeks, and he might even be, I don't know if he's going to be up on a charge for that that spear tackle he did. Would it have not been better to just stick Ashton in the centre position for that last 15 minutes and take Gelling or King off?
He's got a strategy, I think, where he's got basically players partnered with, you know, who they're going to be rotated with.
Like a buddy. Yes. Are you my buddy, Dennis? Are you my buddy? Are we partnered together?
Yes, if you want.
Are we?
Yeah. I'm the fried bread. You're the sausage.
Sam, what do you think about that? Ashton at centre for the last 15 minutes rather than fullback?
No, I think it was right to play him at fullback. It was interesting, though, you say he could have left Ratchford on and chose to play him in the half just in case he has to play there or at centre, or just do exactly what he did and say, Stefan, you've done enough. Let's give the young lad 8 to 9 minutes.
I know you.
And he nearly scored first touch, didn't he?
Mm. If the game is going to be that quick, I'm not sure we want Ratchford in the halves. We know what a headless chicken he can be. Do we want it any quicker than it already is with him running around in there? Let's have a little bit of structure this year. The interchange bench, though, was good. Akawala, I thought, had a reasonable game. Philbin was, I thought, had a blinder. I thought Philbin is just perfect for this kind of rugby league. You know, he's not huge. He gets around the park pretty quickly and put in a lot of work.
We've discussed before whether we need a big bruising prop. If the game is going to be quicker, we'll see what happens when it gets to October and November time. But if the game is going to be a bit quicker, our team with Philbin, Cooper, Jack Hughes, Curry, Clark, both Clarks, they're all players that can do long minutes and are mobile forwards, aren't they? And could suit this type of game.
It's going to come down to the fact, though, you know, we played Hawkeye. It was a good one to get a feeler for these new rules. They made a lot of mistakes. They were, you know,
yes,
it wasn't really that much of a test. You know, when we come up against some of the teams that are going to be a bit more seasoned, a bit more skillful, giving away less penalties, and we're under the cosh.
But it was interesting to see how scrappy Catalan were last week on their first game back, and how much slicker they were yesterday when they beat Castleford. Mm-hmm. So if we can do the same again, if, you know, we were let's be fair, we scored some good tries against a team that are bottom of the league. Yeah, are bottom of the league, but we were scrappy ourselves. But you can forgive them that. It's first game. It's like first game of the season, isn't it?
Mm. Anyone that you'd like to take out of that Hull KR team and put in the Warrington team, Dennis? Anyone that really? I thought their number 11's a big lad. He had a few big props out there and a few big second rowers, but no one with any real quality, were there, really?
No, I don't really. I did name a couple last week prior to this match, but actually, they don't think they showed up. That Sean Kenny-Dowd.
Hey, he's a flop, isn't he? I presume they're paying him quite a bit of money as well. He's not really.
And we had Briley again. And as we said last week, me and Sam pointed it out, the fact that he's never really sort of got going. I think he made a few mistakes. He shows potential, but he never really. So now I think we can write OKR off. Let's just draw a line under him.
John Wells looks like a massive knob in a face mask on Sky cameras. Printing press overheats following cardboard cutout of Steve Broomhead. Aren't we going entire day without Luther Burrell taking a photograph of himself without his top on?
Okay, it's the What Bevan News. Excellent new jingle there, I think. Did you like that one, lads? Pretty well, we're changing that every week.
Yes. So
it's a good one. Good one. We'll start with the Australian Daily Telegraph reporting, and it's almost old news this now. Plans are in place for former skipper Gareth Widdop to make a shock St George in Illawarra homecoming just 12 months after leaving the club in a mooted player swap with out-of-favour 5/8 Corey Norman. Widdop has reached out to the Dragons officials in recent weeks, flagging the potential of returning to the club next season because of personal reasons. Just 1 year into a three-year deal at Warrington. We quickly put it up on Twitter. We put four options out. If Gareth Widdop heads back to the NRL, where should Warrington turn to for his replacement? We had Jake Truman, Corey Norman, Deck Patton, or a new marquee signing. The new marquee signing just crept over the line with 39%. Jake Truman, his name keeps cropping up, 38%. Corey Norman, no one seems to want to have him. I think he's very similar to Blake Austin. We don't want two of them at the club. And Deck Patton, poor old Declan, still only on 13%. Is this old news now, lads? Do we think this is blown over?
You wonder where this story's come from. And I think, Rob, early in the week, do you say Norman and Widdop share the same agent? And Norman, yeah. Norman was dropped, wasn't he, from the Dragons. So whether it's someone making two and two equal five and just sort of testing the water by putting that type of news out, you know, like the government does these days, they just run the flag up or fly the flag and just see what public perception is. I can't see Gareth Widdop going anywhere during the season. Mm. However, things can change, can't they, in the off-season? That's not to say I know anything. It's just things can change.
I sent a WhatsApp message to Paul Sutton, Gareth Widdop's agent. I just said, was it the coffee? Question mark. To which he replied, no comment. So.
Ah, right. Okay, that's interesting. Do you want me to ask Madam Boyd?
I think we should. We've had a few people on Twitter get in touch about it. Wazza says, I find it's hard to believe, however, if true, timing sucks. 4 days before our season is to resume and this is dropped. Cannot make it up. If he wants out, then get rid of him and make way for Truman. Warrington should demand a hefty fee for Widdop and then send in the money for Truman. Someone called Dennis Waywell wrote in. He said, I think Deck Patton needs to get another 10-game transition under his belt. To which Gareth Monkey replied, I give him 30 games. Dan Lewis, where's Sando on that list? Stephen Savage, Stefan Radford at 7, Ashton at fullback, get a quality forward in with the money. Not a bad suggestion. And John's also in favour of that. Ben Renyon, 96, he says, use the money to get a prop. Sam Jones questioned who voted for Deck Patton, to which the famous barber Paul Heeson responded, his kids. Oh, dear. That's not,
harsh.
Not very nice. Guess who liked that comment on Twitter? Our very own Sam Sankey was in agreement with Paul Heeson. He put a like on it. So I didn't let that one creep through. Keep through. Yeah, exactly.
You're omnipresent, aren't you?
Price brushed aside any suggestion Widdop would be leaving and denied any interest in Norman. And then he said, I was totally blindshotted by this. Gareth is really happy at our club. He's really enjoying his time at Warrington Wolves and he's contracted here for a number of years. The player who's linked with us, that definitely will not be happening. So I'm really comfortable with Gareth and so is he. The player who is linked with us wouldn't even come into my thoughts. Well, Dennis, Steve Price, the man that keeps on giving when it comes to the English language, blindshotted, a new word. I think he means blindsided or possibly shot blindfolded. So I'm not sure where he's coming from there.
Yeah, well, I think we should look into this.
Well, I have looked into it a little bit. I have typed blind-shotted into Google. You do end up on a section called blind spot porn at letmejerkyouoff.com. I wouldn't go there. I actually looked at it with a VR headset on and I've had whiplash for 3 days. So probably.
Is that it? You're blind-shotted, don't I?
Yes,
you're blind-shot now.
Let's give Gareth Widdop the final word on this, though, because he was interviewed after the game, and this is what he had to say.
Some fears this week. You perhaps were maybe going back to St George Illawarra. Your team have silenced those rumours. Seeing I've got you here talking to us on Sky Sports, can we expect to see you play out your contract?
Yeah. Look, it was news to me. Obviously, I woke up and turned up at the club with the news and my phone going off, so... Yeah, obviously I'm a Warrington player now and had a great time at the Dragons. My future is out at Warrington. I'm really enjoying it. And like I said, it's just great that we're back.
Well, there was a bit of touching of the face. I know you're very much into psychology, Dennis. What did you make of it? Was Gareth lying or are we going to take him for face value?
Well, I think, you know, you have to take somebody on the word. He stood in front of the TV camera on, you know, in Sky Sports, and then mentioned, said that he was, yes, I'm staying with the Wolves. Wasn't very conclusive whether it was a yes, he was going to see out his full contract, but certainly it was a yes. I think there was a few comments on Twitter regarding that, because you put a bit of a thing out there, didn't you? Widdop denying the rumour of his move to the NRL, although he's touching his face when answering the question, possibly a little disconcerting. So that created a bit of response. So I think this podcast is going to move very much heavily into the psychology in the next few weeks.
Well,
some comments.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, Dennis, because Adam, he wrote back, Adam ADBAX1, he said it's just a nervous, he's just nervous in front of the camera. All the signs point to the fact he's staying. Paul Harper, he said he thinks it's just an itch, a solid performance for a restart, some good tries, nice to have him back. And then we had one from Mark Blowden, who said, I wish you would rather not make comment on something like this that you're not au fait with. I think you will find his eyes assessing the emotional down left is a giveaway for hiding something. We're going to try and get Mark Bowden on the show. Mark Bowden's profile, Professor of Psychology and Behavioural Sciences and Specialist in Body Language and Interrogation Techniques. He also supports Warrington Wolves. So we're going to try and get Mark on. Looks a bit dodgy looking at his picture, but I think we'll give
Listen,
it a go.
We need all the fans we can get. Is he a fan of the podcast?
He is, which is good. Blake Austin, the Wolves marquee halfback, posted images on Instagram showing him at Anfield when Liverpool lifted the Premier League trophy on July the 23rd. However, the images demonstrated that the Australian could have breached social distancing guidelines and forced the Wolves to take action and remove him from training for a number of days. Austin is understood to have taken an additional COVID-19 test following his attendance, which provided a negative result. After several days in isolation, he returned to training last Monday. Silly lad, Sam. I mean, it's just silly, isn't it? We've looked at, you know, there's a fair few of them on social media that you can clearly see you just shake your head at and think, what are you doing, lads? It's all over the joint.
I will be very careful here because, you know, I get on a bit of...
You go dogging on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Thursday.
At the Grange.
I get quite angry with this and I need to be careful that I don't go on a complete rant and call them all a bunch of wankers, frankly. But there are a group of people...
Yeah. Sam. No, Dennis is in a public area today. You can't be saying things like that. Get thrown out.
Sorry. Apologies, Dennis. This is how angry it gets me. That there are people who are putting themselves and the rest of us at risk for the fact that they can't be arsed following the guidelines. And that's all I'm going to say on it.
Yeah,
I would just like to say something. I don't want us or anyone else to become a Stasi state team, reporting people for doing these things and so on and so forth. I agree with Sam, is the fact that the whole of this rugby league season is dependent on these players having this extra responsibility to look after themselves and be, you know, social distancing and so on. And it's not only just Austin. There was Luther Burrell. He was out there as well doing similar things. And I think you just need to be aware that, look, you could really fuck this season up.
See, it gets you angry as well.
It does.
Anyway.
The NRL is reporting a headline. The origin door is open for Inglis to come back, says Queensland coach Kevin Walters. The door is still open for the Maroons legends Greg Inglis and Cameron Smith to make a comeback to State of Origin in November, in what would be a huge boost for Queensland. Walters saw Inglis earlier this year and said the 33-year-old was in great shape and ready to go. Walters went on to say, Greg is being the player and professional he is. He knows what he can do and what he cannot do. Greg Inglis is Greg Inglis. We saw him. I mean, when we interviewed him, gee, looked as fit as a butcher's dog. It'd be great to see him back, wouldn't it? State of Origin in November, once the season's finished, rather than this test series. Oh, I'd love to see him out there. Eh?
Yeah, but, you know, and he gets injured.
Yeah. It'd be a fairy tale type thing, but it isn't going to happen. I think possibly what's driving this.
Make a note of that.
No, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say it's not going to happen?
Well, I don't think it makes sense for a player to go straight into what is
not a Queenslander, Sankey. You don't know how they act up there.
Possibly the
They're
most
animals.
Yeah, but it is possibly the most intense game of rugby of either code on the planet, and to do that without having played any matches for the best part of 2 years.
Greg Inglis is Greg Inglis.
He is, but I think it's possibly driven by the fact that Brisbane are currently so shit, because they have obviously been churning out Queensland players for the last 20 years, but they're struggling.
Okay, fair enough. Well, not to be outdone when we talked about Blake Austin breaking the rules, our old friend Wayne Bennett has been spotted breaching the NRL COVID bubble by dining in a restaurant called Grappa in Leichhardt, Sydney. Lads, I've sent you the menu through. Do you want to choose an entree, main and dessert? Lads, what are you going for?
Personally, I'm gonna forgo the entree.
Oh. Oh dear. We're just having water, aren't you? Just having a drink.
No, I'm just going to have a little drink, a little bit of fizz by the glass, because I was looking down the list there, and I wasn't taken by someone. So I'll just have a glass of fizz, and then I'll go on to have I'll have the Harvey Bay scallops with leeking chili.
Then it's exy, a bit pricey. Right.
Well, yeah, the Vongole. I like Vongole. I can't resist.
It clearly shows. It's quite a fancy restaurant. I thought you'd be into pie and chips, Bennett, but clearly not. Dennis, what are you going for?
Well, I went for the freshly shucked rock oysters.
Oh, nice.
I like the sound of that. Get oysters, get in the mood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then main course, the long line snapper baked in salt crust. The reason being, it takes 40 minutes. So that means you could watch the first half and then you could tuck in, you know, it's baked fresh. So that's good. And then the non-offensive sorbet for dessert, because I don't like desserts. Not asked.
Okay, right. Fair enough. Sounds nice.
Why are we doing this, by the way?
I'll just, interesting to see what restaurant he got caught, and he's going to be charged $20,000 for going out and breaking the COVID
expensive
bubble,
meal, so. Isn't it?
To be fair, lads, I'm not coming with you, because Norton Street in Leichhardt is an absolute pain in the arse to park, and it's on meter parking down there now. It's an hour; you only get an hour down there these days. So I'm staying at home. I'll just order something from Uber Eats, I think. Okay, now last week we tried to find Daniel Romance. Most of my romances have ended with me just using that classic line: "It's not you that's changed, darling; it's me." So with Daniel getting back together with rugby, let's see how his relationship with Super League has changed.
Well, that's bollocks, isn't it? Because it's not like you ended it like that at all.
So, in the early days of the restart of Super League, what have been the main differences? Well, for one, I think the games are a lot quicker in the way they are played and the pace that we're seeing players operate at. I think a lot of this is down to the fact that we've lost scrums, which we could have done a long time ago if you ask me, and this has led to a lack of breaks in play. So fitness is absolutely essential for any player and any team competing in Super League right now, because there's not the same number of breaks that we were having beforehand. Alongside this, we've also got the 6-a-gain rule, which means that we're having less penalties, less stoppages. I think in the St Helens Catalan Dragon match, we went the first 11 minutes without a single stoppage, which is remarkable really when you think about it. And that is leading to a greater intensity in the matches, which I think is a good thing. I think spectacle-wise, really, really good. However, I think more gaps are opening. It could be a real benefit for the small, scurrying players. Think about the Warrington squad, people like Danny Walker, Matt Davis, Jake Mamo. Could these be options from the bench to exploit defences that have been worked hard for 70, 80 minutes? Could they exploit the gaps that are opening because of how quick the games are being played? Also, the first two matches were really high scoring, with 40 points in one and 53 points in another. I'm not sure how much of this is down to attacking structure, because there wasn't too much sparkling attacking play, or whether it was down to the fact that defences aren't really solidified yet, and so we could see a barnstorming number of points scored in the first few matches. Finally, the crowd noise. Now, this is one thing that I don't think I can get on board with. I find it artificial, a bit fake. just not for me, really. I know some people will enjoy it, but I don't think it adds anything to the atmosphere. I'd much rather be able to listen to the players and work out who's giving instructions, who are the leaders in the team. You can pick up a lot from that. I talked last week about captaincy. Perhaps we could learn who's giving instructions, who's organising these teams for Warrington, who's organising the matches, who's setting the players up. But in terms of the spectacle, I actually think that Super League has benefited from some of the new rules that have come in. It seems to be quicker, more exciting, higher scoring, and I don't think anybody can complain about that.
Well, I thought the most interesting thing Daniel said, I thought it was a terrific soundbite. I know Daniel's he's on leave at the moment because of the school holidays, and he's thrown himself into watching every episode of Waterloo Road, is it? That old show that was on the BBC? Oh, yeah. He's up to like series 10. And when he's not doing that, he's watching snooker because he's a belting snooker player, his young Daniel. I thought one interesting point he did make, and we're not been able to see this or hear this, is the fact we got this silly crowd noise being played over. And as Daniel mentioned, he said it would be great to hear which players make all the noise on the field and which ones are quiet. And they commented on this yesterday, Sky, but clearly they're getting a different sound reel than we're getting, Sam. Would you like to have the option of both?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the end of the Premier League, and Sky gave you the option to have it with or without crowd noise.
Yeah.
Now, I actually don't mind the crowd noise, the fake crowd noise. I just think it was too loud. When you hear any of the cricket on the radio, because that's how rock and roll I am, it's just a gentle hum in the background. It just stops that clinicalness. And I just think...
Sure, that's not
crowd
your pace,
noise,
mate.
Yes. Well, it could be. Crowd noise, yes, but just turn it down a bit. And the other thing I don't want to be hearing, it's like that. I don't want to hear the referee shouting, move, hold, move, and all that type of crap. You know? Yeah. So turn his mic down a bit.
Nearly said
well.
Me safe word then. Dennis?
I like the idea of actually choosing. But I think the crowd noise is just sort of, yeah, again, I think it was too high. I think it should be a bit lower than that. Having the option is a good idea. But I mean, Daniel really, and this is the thing with Daniel, he makes really good salient points and then he sort of lets himself down and gives away his character. And that's why he's not got a girlfriend. I mean, saying that he likes to listen to a load of blokes telling each other what to do and things is like a very sort of, you know.
He has apparently been out with, he has actually been out with Mary this week, but we're going to get a soundbite. We're going to get a soundbite on that from Daniel to let us know how it went. So I'm looking
just some other good points about Samuel. That Daniel's, Jesus. God, yeah, actually, he's a filling up. He made some other good points. I think the intensity as an expert, you know, as a spectator now, is going to make the game a lot better. So I think he makes some good points about Walker, Davis, and Mamo that might be sort of good players for it. But I don't know. I think the fitness is the other point he made. And I think that is going to be key. I think from all the games we've seen so far, it's going to be fitness.
They're going to be buggered, aren't they? In about 10 weeks, they're all going to be shattered.
Yeah. Yes.
Danny Walker's pace could make a big difference around the ruck, couldn't it? Yeah. He looked handy again yesterday.
Didn't we say it in the NRL? I think it was after about, 8 or 9 rounds, all the games were shit because everybody just looked so tired. It was almost like, you know, that's the point where you need to rotate to.
Okay, some might say this section adds absolutely nothing whatsoever to the podcast. But as we all know, when it comes to the elderly, to cheer up their spirits, the best we can all do is just let them talk. So with Mr. Sankey putting brand new batteries in his 1970s Little Professor calculator and having printed off the entire works of Wikipedia onto graph paper, yes, back after a 20-week absence, it's time for...
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Cost me a lot of money, that graph paper. I had to get it on Amazon, and it wasn't cheap, I can tell you. Right, well, boys, I thought this week...
It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back, Sam.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Because you've done fuck all for 20 weeks. It's good to have you back.
Well, some of us are still working. We're not sat on our arse.
Oh, that's like a sharp knife in my side.
Googling whatever porn site it was that you did, and grappa.com Australian menus.
I'll put a link on the podcast this week to both the restaurant and to jerkoff.com. So, it's fine.
Disgraceful. Penalties. This could go down as one of your Area 51 myths, because we seem to be under the impression that Chris Hill gives away far too many penalties. So I looked at the whole of the 2019 season, and in particular, I looked at Warrington, who were the fourth worst team, conceding 225 penalties, compared to Hull, who only conceded 184, and Saints, only 198. And then I looked at the worst players, with Eddie Batty at London conceding 34. And then some of the props, Liam Watts, 22, Trent Merrin, 22, David Fajita, 22.
Ooh, spicy.
But Chris Hill only conceded 15 penalties last year.
No, I won't have
correct.
It.
Correct, yeah. And if you look at the Warrington forwards, Hill, Jason Clark, Darren Clark, Jack Hughes, Ben Curry, and Joe Philbin. I don't know why I missed out Big Ben. Who do you think gives away the most penalties?
Ooh, tricky one. Ben Curry.
By some way, Jack Hughes conceding the most penalties per game. And second worst, Jason Clark. And then Chris Hill, only conceding one penalty every 144 minutes of a game.
I didn't have
the exact minutes he was on the pitch. I've just done per game.
It's a caveat, that is it?
Here it is.
For all of them.
Used all that graph paper for nothing.
So Chris Hill, but when you compare him to the other prop forwards, Liam Watts, Trent Merrin, Fafita, Senny Lafeo, all conceding more penalties than Chris Hill, except for the two St. Helens lads, both in single figures. Alex Warnley, only 8. Luke Thompson, only 6 penalties.
So they were players from a different teams finished below us, were they, pretty much?
Some of them, most of them did. But I wonder whether this perception of Chris Hill giving penalties away is because of him being the captain, and as you've said, Rob, always running up. And if there is a penalty, he's questioning it, even if he's not giving it away.
With his big, gormless face and his strong Lee accent.
And he's not actually giving many penalties away. But looking at it, even this year, we're conceding 9 penalties per game on average, up to yesterday. We are the third worst for giving penalties away. And I wonder, is it the coaching? Warrington gave away the most yellow cards last year and one red card. Only 5 teams had a red card. Warrington are giving away penalties, not necessarily Chris Hill. That is this week's statistical.
Write that down. Dennis, open a new crayon.
Down here.
Get a new crayon, mate. Use a new one.
I'm going to colour this bit in. But what we're going to say at this juncture of the season then is that if we end up losing quite considerably across the course of this season, it's Steve Price's fault because of his tactics and giving away penalties. Because I think we're pretty all clear that giving away penalties will result in like a loss in the new format of the game.
If you give away too many,
He's writing it down. We're all fine.
That's okay. But if you look at it last year, we gave away 225 penalties in 30 games. Saints gave away 198 in 3 games more. Now, those 27 more penalties, when you kick to touch and make at least 20 metres, you're giving away No, that's not that many. You're giving away
4 million.
Lots,
4 million
lots,
meters.
Lots of penalties. 4 million meters. 4 billion. 4 trillion.
Four trillion. So what you're saying is that Chris Hill is giving away. No, you're not saying Chris Hill is giving away. You're saying other people are giving.
I'm saying Warrington across the board are giving away.
So just sum this up, Sam. Based on last year's penalties that were given away by all the teams in Super League.
Yep.
Who's in the top three?
The top three, as in the worst.
Yes.
Yeah, Catalan were the worst.
Yeah.
French.
We were fourth worst. Hull and St. Helens were the best, as in giving away the least number of
it's
penalties.
It's funny that, because you'd think crime in Hull would be really high. Maybe Chris Hill just needs a bit of some kind of facelift. Trini and Susanna or something. Give him a new look.
Because it's clear. Wrong with it.
Yeah, but it's his face. It's his face. It's his downfall, Dennis. That's why everyone thinks he's giving away the penalties.
It doesn't matter as long as he's not, does it? I mean, it's our perception.
I reckon a wig for Chris Hill and have a little bit of helium in his pocket so when he speaks.
I think we've already done a picture of Chris Hill with a wig.
Oh, have we? Okay. Sorry. Is that it then, Dennis? Sam, is that you done?
Yeah.
You
yes,
saw your graph? Do you know, I think with the rugby back and the stats back and it all clicking together now, do you think the numbers at the National Rugby League Museum will have swelled?
Probably not.
And with the rugby league back, time now to head over to Rimmer's Lot. Quite frankly, I have no idea why the BBC would commission such a chavvy northern sport, and why on earth they would let it replace eggheads is anyone's guess. Thankfully, one's not in a position to watch that tacky sky from brash Mr. Murdoch. Besides, I wouldn't want his rusty old satellite dish casting a shadow across my petunia.
Come on, Stevie. Crank up the speed and show some versatility. These cardboard cutouts of Tony Smith won't print themselves.
Oh, gee, Ralphie. Why are all their eyes looking the wrong way? They're all looking in different directions. It's like they're avoiding the camera.
Oh, that's Tony for you. We took 7,688 photographs of him, and not one of them is he making eye contact. I just think he's avoiding looking what's in front of him.
You mean like a dog turd?
Yes, OKR. Anyway, that's the Rovers fan cutout sorted. Start packing them in something durable and weatherproof. The whole climate can be quite inclement. And it's a shithole.
No worries, I'll put them in the skip outside, ready for the garbo.
Ah, Tony, you've made it. Stevie's just packing your consignment now. How are things with you? Have you managed to get back into the swing of coaching?
Oh, yeah, good on, you know. I'm going to do some work at the coaching staff at OKR.
I'm over here, Tony.
Oh, yeah, well, I thought you were one of the cardboard cutouts. As all the boys have signed off by the club doc, you know. Yeah, Dr. Gemma, she's got them all back training, you know, under control.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Tony. Can I be of any further assistance today?
Oh, yeah, I guess you can. I've got a couple of things I need. You know, it's difficult sometimes to focus on my strategy. And Dr. Gemma told me that if you need to remove the pressures of winning and losing, you know.
I'm over here, Tony.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, I thought you could possibly remove relegation this year off. I thought maybe you could come to your senses and thought about how crazy bonkers it might be to, you know, build a team over 5 years. Dr. Gemma said it would be a good idea.
Oh, forget it, Tony. Stop your rambling buffoonery. Now look me in the eye and tell me why you're really here.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, the thing is, you know, I was wondering possibly if I could get a copy of my 2017 Brisbane Broncos game plan. you know, I won that game, you know, I won that game.
I'm over here, Tony.
I thought it would be useful for a cup of coffee for me for all my aspiring half-time team talks. You know, I mean, Dr. Jemma said it would be.
Oh, yes. I think Stevie has it. We usually keep it in the coaching strategies of the decade section, next to the Steve Anderson's 20-volume Britannica edition on player development. Stevie!
Oh, jeez, Rolf. You look some kind of fucking incomprehensible dictator. Just like that bloody Tony Smith bloke.
Huh?
Oh, shit. Good day, Tony.
Sorry about that, Tony. Steve didn't see you coming. Now, Stevie, could you go and find Tony's 2017 Brisbane Broncos game plan colouring book?
Did I mention that I won that game? Dr. Jemma was very impressed, you know.
Is he talking to me, Rolfie? I'm over here, mate. I'm over here. Oh, struth. I think I've left it in the broomhead, Danny. Give me a second, mate.
Oh, I'm really sorry about this, Mr. Smith. He's had an awful lot on. He's now trying to be very versatile.
Oh, yeah? I know the feeling. Did I tell you about the time I was playing squash with Dickie Eagle?
Here it is, big fella. It's taken a bit of a knock over the years. I thought it was like the Dick Patton colouring book.
Thanks, Stevie. Oh, tackle sacks. Oh dear, I'm afraid it's a little bit soiled. Oh, that's disgusting. It looks like someone's been wiping their arse all over the pages. It's full of poo. Oh, I'm really sorry, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's exactly as I remember it. See you later. You know, I beat the Brisbane Broncos once, you know.
Oh, lovely. Another satisfied customer, Stevie. Put the kettle on and we'll make a start on the Wakefield batch of fan cardboard cutouts. It'll only take us a couple of minutes.
Well,
I don't know. Yes,
and it's
that.
Over now. It's over now to Barry Norman to critique episode number 6 of Rimmer's Lot. Barry,
can it not just be a minute long rather than 5 minutes long?
Oh, it's getting longer. It's getting longer. This.
It's nearly 6 minutes now. Yeah, it's going to be a 30-minute episode soon. Maybe a couple of adverts. We get
I tell you what, though, after listening to that, and then watching Tony Smith's after game. Oh. Press conference yesterday. He was rocking and rolling like Stevie Wonder singing a song, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, someone said to me that he looks like one of them serial killers from America. He can't look at the camera. He's like looking everywhere. But just to let you know that there's actually people listening to the podcast now are only tuning in to the Rimmer's Lot section.
Yes. So we've had quite a few letters this week. That's all they tune in for is Rimmer's Lot. So
I don't believe it.
And time now for the Twitter vote. Is that it? Is that all I have to say? That one line? I have to say more in lockdown letters. This is so insulting.
Well, obviously, we don't know the results of the election yet, but what we do know is that about 4 in 10 of us probably didn't even bother to vote. Pollsters have a name for people like this. They call them morons.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why did Paxman get the big line? This is utter horseshit.
In Super League, how would you sum up the standard of players' play of the ball? We had 4 options. Perfect, got 4%. Average, 30%. Poor, 35%. And utterly ridiculous, 31%. So 66% of the vote went to either poor or ridiculous. You mentioned this last week, Sam. You sort of talked about it. And since saying that, I've been, you know, stringently looking at all the NRL games to seeing how they play the ball in comparison to Super League. And there is no doubt in the NRL, when you watch it, that they do get on their feet. They stand up before they attempt to play the ball. Now, they don't always get their heel on the ball, but most of the time they do. And when they don't, you could clearly say, well, they did attempt to do it. But there's times now in English Super League, having watched the game last week between Catalans and Saints, they're not even getting up when they're playing the ball. They propel themselves back to their feet by rolling the ball between their legs. I mean, it's embarrassing. It needs to improve because it just needs to slow the game down just a fraction to give us a better game than what we're getting at the moment.
At the start of this season, I mean, if we can remember that far back, they said they were going to clamp down on it. But I think they clamped down on it for the first week.
Right. So who do we need to... Should we write to them? Who do we need to... We've got Ralph Rimmer. It's not Ralph Rimmer. Ralph Rimmer was very keen to come on the podcast a few weeks
ago. Maybe head of referees. Is it still Steve Ganson? Leave that with me if you want. If it is still Steve Ganson.
I think we should ask comment on this. Because clearly, Sky don't mention it. Everyone watches it and thinks it's a complete farce. So what they're doing, they're not doing anything about it. As Sam said, you only have to watch one game to see that they've not clamped down on it whatsoever.
We're not far off just touch and pass, are we? Because, I mean, we're eliminating everything out of the game. It's just been touch and pass.
You do see a few of them that still put their foot on it that have come over from the NRL. But they soon get out of the knack of doing it. Jason Clark goes nowhere near it. He's learned very quickly that he can just throw it between his legs and carry on. So
just step over it, don't they? They just step over the ball.
Bizarre. Now, last time out, Dennis decided to run with padded posts. But as we all know, Dennis clearly needs to be placed in a padded cell. Unfortunately, though, he's managed to slip free of his straitjacket as yet again it's time for...
Tackle bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
So I've got everything around me here. Probably have to lower my voice for this section now.
What time are you due out of the room, Dennis? Are you due to leave today?
That was half an hour ago.
Oh,
that's why I feel like I'm on borrowed time. I'm just sat in someone's house now, squatty.
Yeah.
A bit awkward. Yeah. Anyway, last week, from our new sponsor of the section, Gareth Monkey, we looked at the goalposts. It was suggested that we could harness the energy from the pads on the posts. The invention of energy absorbing pads could basically get the potential induction semiconductor source pads, which is the acronym there, to collect this energy, which was a chain of strain gauges incorporated into the pad, which would take the impacts of the players and the balls hitting them and turn them into electric and store it for energy. This energy could then be fed back into the electrical system of the ground and could be used as a trickle drain, powering all small devices and thus reducing the carbon footprint of the energy consumption at the ground. So an excellent, everybody agreed with it was a good idea this last week. So there you go, moving on. Quite a few comments. From the environmental voices of the podcast. Yes, 70%, Leslie Tash. Yes, it's about time clubs showed initiative in this area. I've seen no effort from Warrington, and now we have a sponsor that consumes energy like Hoover, rather than an energy neutral company like Eubank.
Oh.
Everybody remember a Eubank?
Yes, it's a Eubank. Yeah. Made a good noise, a Eubank, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did it actually... anything up? It picked fuck all up, didn't it? You could go by like 20 to... I think what you were doing is you went back over it about 40 times. You were just making it, just making it wear away, weren't you, really?
Yeah. You back. Making a noise.
Yeah.
No, 28%. Elon Musk. Clearly, you are pissing in the wind with your piss pads idea.
You're in a nice establishment there, Dennis.
I have to read this line again now because I've actually structured this and broken it up. Clearly, you are pissing in the wind with this. Start again.
So there's the landlady.
Clearly, you are pissing in the wind with your piss pads idea, an idea of trickle electricity. But as in the case of my incontinence, I found myself trickling piss at the thought of it.
Hey, I tell you what, I think there's a few fans trickling piss when they go to that player's, the fans section.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I tell you what, fizzy blue pop's still the go in Warrington, isn't it? My God.
Right, one more, 2%. Trust me, I'm a dictator. Absolute garbage. Wouldn't even charge my Tracy Cox Edge Goodhead Mini Stroker.
Oh.
Which, if you have a look at that, that's a male.
Some very, very peculiar people write into you, don't you, Dennis?
Well, the thing is that I used the written, mail emails to our account. I don't use Twitter.
No, I know you don't.
Well, we like to be diverse. You know, you've got to be diverse, haven't you?
Versatility. Anyway,
versatility. This week, talking about versatility, we're looking at rotation. It's been a subject we've discussed only recently on the back of Steve Price. And what we need to do is ensure that we've got a completely fit set of blokes on the pitch as we move through the season. So What we're talking about, going one step further here, is the game has changed significantly with the new six-again rule, no scrums. We're at the point where the traditional specialist positions are becoming obsolete. For instance, props, hookers, second row, and so on. So the new proposal for next year is to redefine the specialist positions in the form of attacking and defending lines, a bit like ice hockey. The new concept called player up, select strategy yields enables coaches to swap out four players whilst in a set of six. Whilst a set of six for other defence and offence. So by having a player roster of 12 players on a bench, the coach can exploit the strategy of the game in an instant by bringing on and off his bench players in and out of the game at will. So you bring in on three or four players, a specialist in attacking, three or four, So for instance, if you were on the back of the three consecutive six again calls, you could put a defensive line out of your top tacklers. And similarly, in offense, the coach may see the opportunity to put all his 6 foot four guys on ready for a kick to the corner and a big tackle. So the game will become more entertaining. The versatility of the coach will be tested and his ability to be insightful and adjust the team to what's in front of him and not become blind-shotted. So what do you think about that?
Unlimited substitutions. You're going to have a rush goalie and stuff like that soon.
Yes. I'm just making note of that. Not having it, Rob, you're not mentioning.
Well, I was just sort of, I was more taken back by your sort of mannerisms today, because normally you're quite charismatic during this section, but you were quite reserved. You almost read that like the news today. Clearly, this bed and breakfast is having. One thing I did notice at one point during this, you did put your finger on your face, and I'm just wondering whether you're telling fibs like Gareth Widdop. It's a bit hard to say whether.
No, I did. What it was is, you see, I became self conscious where I am with my surroundings.
Yes,
and
right.
That's the tell. That's the tell.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Okay, it's prediction times, everyone, with Wire heading to the Totally Wicked Stadium to play Huddersfield. I'm not sure if this is a home or an away game, Sam. Not sure, just a neutral venue again, isn't it, really? It doesn't really matter in the scheme of
things.
It's a
good time for Sam to tell us the result.
Technically, we're away. We're technically away. Yesterday, we were technically at home.
Okay, now we're recording this prior to the Huddersfield game. There isn't a game, so we're completely blind-shotted.
They've got the bye this week.
Blind-shotted then. We don't know where we're coming from on this one. Dennis, I'll start with you. I mean, it's a bit tricky based on the fact we played the shittest team in the competition, although Phil Clark did point out they are the most entertaining team to watch. What are you thinking about this one, mate? More of the same, we're going to win?
I think we might find we'll struggle. The shock of this new system, I don't think, will be settled enough for us to make a prediction. I think what's going to happen in the first 3 or 4 weeks is that people are going to be beating, you know, each other all the time, and it's going to be less predictable. I think we'll get a bit of a shock to our system. Huddersfield are going to be a lot better than what OKR are. I think we might just win it by about 24-18 is probably where I'm going to go.
So you said we weren't going to win when you started that then, but now you're saying we are. That's what you're saying.
I've changed my mind because I thought, you know what, I don't want to start the season off with negativity. And I thought, you know, I've got to
turn
this
around. So just in that paragraph, you changed your mind.
Absolutely, that's how good I am.
Samuel, what are you thinking, sir?
They are an improved team with Dennis's favourite player, Cesar.
Oh, yes. However, Canberra could have done with him this week, couldn't they? Because Williams didn't do too much.
But we tend to do quite well against Huddersfield. We've beat them the last three times, 38-4, 50 points to 19 and 32-20. I think we will be significantly sharper in attack, given yesterday's run out. And I think we will win that game because I think it's a really important game. I think there's several teams, Huddersfield and us included, that are all going to be fighting for those third and fourth spots. I think we'll win. 32-20.
Ooh, it's gone for a big score. Forgot to ask Daniel, so and Callum, I'm all out of joint. I was up at 3:30 a.m. trying to watch the game, and I shouldn't have done that. To be fair, I'm really tired now. I even shouted at the kids this afternoon whilst making a Singapore noodle fry. So, yes, not good.
You should have took them to Grappa.
That's true. Gone out for dinner. It's a good idea. Do I think we're going to win? Well, first of all, where's Ben Murdoch-Masila, Sam? Where is he? Where is he?
Well, he's hurt his foot. Apparently, hasn't he? He's hurt his foot and should be available.
Is that why he's in Australia
next week? I'm not sure when that photograph was for, but we did see one earlier this week, didn't we? From of him down under.
Ben Murdoch-Masila put a photograph up on Instagram this week where he's clearly got a drink on the table, which you can only get in New Zealand and Australia. So, is he in England or is he overseas? We need to get Madam Boyd onto it, Dennis. Well, there's two things she needs to do.
Steve Price has said he's available for next week. He was 50-50 for this week. We've got to take Steve on his word, yeah.
Was he touching his face when he said it?
No, I don't know. It was written press on the Warrington Guardian website.
No, you've been...
I think he was rubbing his nipple.
All right, I'll go for a Warrington win. I'll keep with it then. So we're saying it's going to be the same team this week. No one seemed to get injured. No one seemed to... take any knock. I know Widdop had a little bit of a knock. He was limping a bit when he scored that try, but everyone's same fit team, and healthy. And...
same team with possibly Big Ben. Okay. Possibly.
I've just WhatsApped Daniel and he's come back with, yeah, I think so. So the question I asked was, will we win against Huddersfield? So we'll put Daniel down for a win. Okay, that's it for another week. It's great to be back watching Super League. Please keep tweeting to @WhatBevan, email to the podcast @WhatBevan@gmail.com, or if you sport neck tattoos and your partner has plucked her eyebrows to fuck and drawn them back on with a felt tip pen, there's always Facebook. So with this numerical crop taking out first prize at Cheshire Show's Grow Your Own Factual Statistical Yield Class, it's a rosette winning goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
And from his famine-riddled, locust-plagued, drought-restricted, ploughed field of just primrose and blue thistles, it's a nomadic harvest festival wave from Dennis.
The single.
I'm Rob London. I'm off to cultivate my organic meat and veg tucked away down my underpants, which, to be fair, hasn't seen the light of day since my better half installed the cattle grid. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Did you get any action in the B&B last night, Dennis?
Oh, no, I was too knackered.
Go and have a scone. Find a place we both could hide.